You're listening to Season 2, Episode 6 of 88 Cups of Tea with Yin Chang.
Am I doing this right? Hi, I'm your host, Yin Chang, and thanks for joining me on 88 Cups of Tea. This podcast is created to leave you feeling motivated from interviews with storytellers, where we learn how they create opportunities for a successful career without losing sight of the values that make us human. Whew, that was a really long run-on sentence.
Hey, what's up, storytellers? We have children's book author Lindsay Maddock, who wrote Finding Winnie, and it won this year's Caldecott Medal. I'm so super pumped to share today's guest with you because you'll find out how the world's most famous bear, Winnie the Pooh, was inspired by a real-life bear and how Lindsay Maddock is directly connected to the infamous Winnie the Pooh. Every time I share Lindsay's story with my friends, we all get goosebumps in the best way possible. I can't wait to share her story with you, so let's jump right in. Hey guys, oh my gosh, I have Lindsay Maddock with us today. I am so excited. She's the author of Finding Winnie, the true story of the world's most famous bear. Lindsay, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on today.
I am really, really excited to share your story. I've been super pumped for this chat. I'd love for the listeners to know why. So can you please share a little bit about your connection to the world's, well, I would say the world's most beloved bear, Winnie the Pooh?
Sure. I used to affectionately say that Winnie the Pooh was my great-grandbear. And the reason why is because my great-grandfather was a Canadian veterinarian and soldier, and his name was Harry Colburn. And at the start of World War I in 1914, he bought a bear cub. He named it Winnipeg after the Canadian city that he was from, Winnie for short. And she became the mascot of his regiment of the army. And Winnie lived with him and his fellow soldiers. And they lived together for about 4 months on the Salisbury Plain in England at the army camps until he had to go to the front lines in France and he realized that it wouldn't be safe for a little bear to go with him. So he needed a new home for Winnie. And at that point, he took her to the London Zoo in England. And while she was at the zoo, she met a lot of visitors. But in particular, she met A.A. Milne, the author, and his son, Christopher Robin. And Christopher Robin fell in love with my great-grandfather's bear, Winnie, and he renamed his stuffed bear, Winnie. And A. Milne, the author, took inspiration from her name in creating one of his central characters, Winnie the Pooh.
That is so amazing. I have chills. I have goosebumps right now. I'd really like to know how you found out about this family story. Were you looking through your books or family tree, or were you talking to a grandparent about this? Or is this a known story that you grew up with hearing about this?
It's a story that I've known my entire life. I definitely have a distinct memory of my grandfather, Fred, Harry's son, showing me some of the items that belonged to his dad. And one of those things was a 1914 diary where he had written, left Port Arthur, 7 a.m. on train, bought bear, $20. And he explained to us this, you know, amazing connection that his dad had to the real bear that inspired Winnie the Pooh. And it was pretty remarkable. It definitely captured my imagination even as a little kid.
Now, I want to step into the world of writing and how you fell in love with writing.
It's funny. I have written my entire life. I have very distinct memories of being, you know, even in grade two and writing short stories. I think the first job that I ever wanted to have, I remember saying to my parents that I wanted to be a poet, which I think they thought that was sort of funny and, you know, encouraged me to think about things like law or medicine.
Yeah.
But I loved words. My mom would tell you that, you know, my alphabet chart was like my favorite thing as a two-year-old. I loved letters. I love words. I love to read. And while I've done lots of writing in different ways, I suppose, over my whole life, I certainly had never sat down to write a children's book. And the desire to do that really did come from a couple of things. Number one, I had this idea. I'd explored my family story as a documentary, a radio documentary that I had written and produced right out of journalism school. It was about my family story. It was called The Winnie Connection. And that was the first opportunity I had to really explore this story, ask my own questions. And I thought an amazing extension of this would be to actually write the story as a children's book. And I thought, at some point, I'm going to have a child, probably, a little boy or a little girl, and wouldn't it be incredible if I had a picture book to explain to them the family connection to Winnie the Pooh? So that was really, the idea was born. I was probably about 25. And, you know, as these things do, the idea got put on the back burner for several years. I did other things. And in 2011, I found out I was pregnant. And I realized that if I didn't write the book now, it would probably be another decade before I did. And I had a wonderful editor, Susan Rich, who was amazing and really gave me a lot of guidance and helped really bring the story out in a pretty incredible way.
When you mentioned that you went from a documentary to writing a children's book, that means that you kind of went in it blindly in the process of writing a children's book, it being your first one. What steps did you take to actually realize your character and your plot?
I'd had a lot of conversations with Susan and another story editor about how to tell this story, because there was a lot of different ways to go. And I'd explored it. You know, I'd thought about writing it from the perspective of Winnie as an actual bear. And I'd thought about writing it from the perspective of Harry on this journey. And so there was many different ways to go. And I had actually written, before I even started writing, was the dedication to my son, Cole. And that dedication was that I had hoped that this story would always remind him of the impact that one small loving gesture can have in this world. And that idea was very powerful. And my editor thought, wouldn't it be amazing if the genesis of the story and why I wanted to write it was for my son, and that I should explore it that way? It was a very powerful kind of lens and framework to put on it, to have the story literally be me explaining it to my son. So that was the path that we went down. I think one of the challenges, one of the hardest things in terms of writing, and I'm working on a second book right now, is finding the voice that feels authentic, like the sort of best way into a story. And there's not always one way to go. There's different ways to go. You know, in the process of writing too, you can be creative. You can try things out. You can go down a path and write a paragraph in one voice, and then you can try it in a different voice, and you can see what is the right way into this story. And I think allowing yourself to explore and to not feel handcuffed to the text that you first write. You know, I was actually writing last night, and I had written a paragraph about two nights before, and I looked at it and I was like, you know what? None of this paragraph is right. But you feel like every time you sit down to write, it's personal, and you invest time and you invest your energy and your ideas. But learning that sometimes through the editing process, whether it's your own editing process or another editor working on a piece that you're working on, you need to be willing to redo, to let go of certain things to get to what is the final core story. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. And do you mind sharing a little bit about the second story that you're working on? Is it for children or is it for adults?
It's another children's book. There's two things I'm working on. One of them is another children's book, and it's also a family story. It's a personal story. It kind of stems from a particular childhood memory that I have and an activity that I used to do with my grandfather, actually on my father's side. It's been a lot of fun. It's taking me down this kind of memory lane into a place where I spent a lot of time as a kid, a place that gave me a lot of joy, and reflecting back on how that place kind of informed the relationship that I had with my grandfather, and just how those special places become places that you can go back to at different times in your life, even though they physically don't exist anymore, or they're not necessarily somewhere that you still go, you can go there in your head. And going there in your head can be really special. So I'm kind of exploring that idea in a children's book. And then I have another idea that I'm pursuing that is actually geared to more kind of the young adult age group.
I'm just like blown away that, Lindsay, you are a mom and you have time to work on two books at the same time, basically. And I'm assuming you also work too, because it sounds like you're in the workplace right now.
I am. I do. I started actually my own agency about 2 months ago. My day job is in PR communications. Myself and my partner started it 2 months ago. So it's interesting, though. I have to say your reaction is, you know, not uncommon. And it's not unlike how I would react if I met someone doing the same thing. But the truth is that I do think that, you know, writing Finding Winnie and really seeing it out into the world has been this dream come true for me. And I think that when you see that happen, you actually start to have a little bit more confidence that other things in your life that are dreams also have the potential to come true. So opening the doors to our own agency certainly has been one of those things. It's funny, when I talk about finding Winnie, I often say that for the last sort of 15 years or so, I've been telling other people's stories. And the beauty of launching Finding Winnie is that I was really telling and sharing one of my own. So for the last 15 years or so, I have been in PR, and our own agency, which is called Pomp and Circumstance, is an agency that will work with people and organizations and companies really to help shape and tell their stories. So it's everything from media relations to creative strategy to media training to social media programs. We really help businesses and people and organizations find their voice.
Oh, that is so cool. So this is something where you want this to grow along with your writing career, I'm assuming, yes? And it's not like you want to do all full-time writing as an author.
If I were to look at my career for the next foreseeable future, it will have both. I will run this agency with my partner, and it's an incredibly creative process. It's creative in what we do, but it's also creative from literally starting a company from the ground up, you know, picking a logo to picking the floor and the company policies and how you're going to build an agency culture. It's very creative, right down to the work that we obviously actually do. And I've been finding that that creativity in starting your own business is heightened, and I'm really enjoying actually being able to have the flexibility to carve out time in my life to write in a different capacity and obviously pursue another book. So I do think it's a creative experience and a creative process that fuels itself. And obviously, while the writing that I do in my day job is very different than writing a children's book or any other kind of book, that process of being creative really does kind of work to inspire both sides of the picture, if that makes sense.
I think that's really admirable that you're able to balance starting your own agency and working on these two books, really making time for both of your dreams. Now, for the listeners who may be struggling with balancing their time, and, you know, either they just graduated school and they're trying to balance work and making an income and working on their dream of writing, or it could be a mom at home who's trying to find time between taking the kids to school, making sure they're okay, and making sure the home is okay, but also making sure that their craft is taken care of as well. Is there any advice you can share with our listeners for those who might be struggling with that?
One of the things that I found after I became a parent, a few months into it, I found that this unexpected benefit was that I became more conscious of my time because I had less of it with my son. You know, as a parent, as a mom, you're always trying to juggle a million different things. When I did carve out time for myself to write or to do anything else that I needed to do for myself, yoga, a walk, I found that it made me a better parent, to be honest. And so I think the one piece of advice that I would have for anyone who is really busy and trying to make time for a creative experience or process like writing is to just honor yourself. I think that, you know, and that was a really good piece of advice that I had when I was a new mom was that you need to take time to do the things that make you who you are and make you alive and make you a better parent. And I think that when I am able to be creative and take time out from being a mom, that I'm actually a better mom to my son. And I want him to grow up knowing that, you know, his mom still did the things that made her her. And does that mean that I have to take certain time that is maybe away from my son to do those things? It does. But I think, again, the benefit is that when I'm with him, I'm still honoring those things that are me.
I love that. I really would love to know if you can share a moment where you ever felt stuck in your career or in your writing process and how you were able to get out of that.
When I first wanted to write this book, when I first had this idea, I had gone to the library, and this is going back now about a dozen years, and I'd gone to the local library and I had sat down and looked through all different kinds of picture books as inspiration. And there was this one book that was called Polar, the Titanic Bear. And it was a great book. It helped me think a lot about what eventually Finding Winnie could be. But I took it out of the library, and I kept getting distracted with other things, and I kept not wanting to return the book. And, you know, the library was calling me and saying, the book is overdue, you need to bring the book back. And it was really funny because my husband was like, you know, why can't you return this book? And I kind of had this
freak out, like, you know, if I return this book, I'm never going to write my book. And I had sort of bundled it. It became this like physical representation of succeeding or failing in this really weird way. And I think we all do those kind of strange things. And my husband sort of looked at me and went, okay, I'm just going to go out and buy you this book. And he did that. And, you know, it's a really long story in terms of obviously the book took a long time to become my focus again and to prioritize. But I did other things during that time. And I think that we all get stuck, but I'm a really big believer in if you have things that you really want to do, you need to write them down. First of all, you need to have that kind of bucket list of things that you check in with yourself to go, I want to do that and I'm going to do that. And if it's not today or if it's not this year, to try not to beat yourself up, because there's reasons why something might not happen a particular year that you wanted it to because you just did other things. But I think just kind of checking in with yourself every so often to say, you know, where am I at with some of those things that I want to accomplish and I want to do? And that's on a big kind of macro level. And it's also on the sort of micro level, which is when you get stuck writing on a particular day, saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to just write 5 good sentences. That's what I'm going to do today. That's my goal. And so I think just trying to be fair with yourself, but also to set even small goals, to be fair, but to keep pushing yourself.
And Lindsay, when you're in the process of actually writing this children's book, I know there are a lot of us out there that are working on children's books. And now the issue I find that is really difficult when it comes to writing children's book is having to keep it succinct and short and to the point, or else you just lose the readers, especially with children who have shorter attention spans. How were you able to work that out in your story? Because your story was so wonderful. I read it. I fell in love with it. And it was to the point, and there was like the brevity, you know, that was the utmost importance. And so how do you advise keeping it to the point, but also not cutting anything important out?
I was really lucky to have had very good story editors to help honestly curve my natural inclination to use more words than it probably is necessary. So I definitely obviously give a lot of credit to the talents of wonderful editors. When you have a child, and it's interesting because Finding Winnie came together obviously before Cole was born, the more you're reading to your kids out loud, you develop a true sense of the rhythm of great children's books. And you also develop an acute sense of their attention spans, the kinds of things that make them excited or that make them want to turn the page. So I definitely think that there's this kind of, you know, for people looking to write a children's book, if you don't have your own kids to spend time with kids, reading things out loud and taking from the best of what's been done out there, I think having some of that inspiration is really important. And then writing is a process. You start with words on a page and then you keep editing. It's like you keep sort of taking a sandblaster a bit until you're down to the core essence that you need to make a story have wonderful details, but also pack a certain punch. And I think the process of also going back and forth with an illustrator as well, where your words need to complement what an illustrator is doing with them. And so that's a whole other editing process, because there may be words that you don't need, frankly, because an illustrator is bringing them to life in a more compelling way than you even need to. So it's a very interesting process. I think in a lot of ways, you know, people think, oh, a children's book must be pretty fast to write because it's short. And I would argue that it's not a short process because when you are with so few words, you really want to make sure you're choosing the right ones.
Did you actually know who your illustrator was going to be?
So once my story was accepted, my editor and I had a lot of conversations, and she was wonderful in terms of sort of asking my opinion of who I would like to do it. And she had lots of ideas, and I had different ideas, and we went back and forth. In the end, I actually had fallen in love with an adult book that Sophie Blackall did called Missed Connections. And it was all about, she took a series of misconnections that were written in classified ads of people who, you know, those misconnections that like run in the back of a newspaper, and it says something like, you know, you were the girl in the green dress and I was the guy reading Lolita or something, and your eyes may have met for a second, but then you had this misconnection. So you saw this person and then you didn't see them again. And so you wrote this classified ad to try to find that person. So she took about 50 or so of those connections, and she actually illustrated them. When I saw her work, I knew if she could understand and know how to bring a moment to life, she would know how to bring to life so many important moments in a way that this story was about. And I know that, you know, Sophie is obviously a very established illustrator, and my editor was really excited to work with her as well. She's was very busy because she does a lot of books. So I was particularly grateful that the project resonated so much with her. She had a strong connection to Winnie the Pooh herself. Winnie the Pooh was the very first book she ever bought with her own money. E.H. Shepherd was the reason she wanted to be an illustrator in the first place. So I feel that, you know, Sophie was destined to illustrate Finding Winnie. So we were incredibly lucky that she said yes, and incredibly lucky that she did the work that she did. It's been nothing short of obviously outstanding.
That's really, really cool. Thank you for sharing that. Lindsay, I'd love to know, when finding an actual agent to represent specifically for children's books, how would one go about that? I know about query letters. Is that the same for children's book authors as well?
The truth is, this one's a little bit of a tricky one for me to answer. My process was somewhat unusual. I actually knew my editor before I even knew my agent, and I had been looking for an agent, and I was lucky that I had a professor from my old journalism school who had connected me with his agent, and she happened to be really one of the country's top literary agents. She's amazing. And so I was extremely lucky that she took me on. As far as the usual process, I'm not positive on this. I don't typically think that it's a query letter that would go to an agent for a children's book. I think it would probably be the actual text. But to be honest, I'm not entirely sure on that.
I would really love to know, what is exciting you about your work right now? Like, what is getting you up and ready and pumped every single morning? Like, yes, gonna conquer the day. Please share with us.
I'm honestly, without to sound overly Pollyanna, I'm the most excited I've been to get up every day than I have been in a long time. It's Finding Winnie has been, as I've said, it's been a dream come true, and it's just unbelievable. Every day there's something new about the journey of having written this book and having this book be out in the world that honestly makes my day somewhat more inspiring. Whether it's an email I get from, you know, somebody last night who bought the book for their 86-year-old father, who loved Winnie the Pooh and who grew up in England and who thinks he actually saw the bear when he was a kid in London,
wow.
To getting an invitation to participate in an event this weekend called Totsapalooza that was in Toronto, where I got to meet three other amazing authors and basically hang out with 200 kids between the ages of 2 and 8 who were having a phenomenal day, just listening to music, listening to great books, and making crafts. So there's that kind of element in my life, plus obviously starting a new business, which has just been very creative and inspiring, and it just feels like kind of what's next. So, you know, what's getting me excited every day is seeing what's possible. I think anytime you're fortunate enough to have something you've always wanted to do, seeing it happen, as I said before, it creates a pretty interesting momentum that feels pretty good.
I'd love to know if there's a book or a few books that are your favorite that you'd like to share with us.
There's so many different books that have inspired me in lots of different ways. Certainly A. Milne's work, reading the actual Winnie the Pooh stories and rereading them as an adult. They are incredible stories, and they were certainly instrumental in inspiring the way Finding Winnie was written. You know, I'm definitely very conscious of great children's books right now that I'm looking for to share with my son every day. I just read a wonderful children's book that came out last year called Beyond the Pond by Joseph Kufler. I hope I'm saying his name right. And it's all about kind of exploring the depths of your imagination and how once you've explored those depths and you've gotten a new perspective, how nothing's the same again. And it's a wonderful, beautiful children's book that has honestly been inspiring me right now as I'm embarking on this kind of adventure that is my second book.
Lindsay, thank you so much. Please let us know where we can find you, your website, social media.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lindsay Maddock, all one word. You can also find me on my website, which is www.lindsaymaddock.com.
That wraps up our chat with Lindsay Maddock. How cool is it that her great-grandfather raised the bear that directly inspired the character for Winnie the Pooh? You never know what kinds of stories you'll dig up in your family tree, which makes me wonder about my great-great-grandparents and the hidden treasures I've yet to discover in our family stories. A huge thank you to Lindsay for sharing her story with us, and a big thank you to you, storytellers, for listening in. Hey guys, it's me again. Thanks so much for listening in on 88 Cups of Tea. Go create something magical today, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.